Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
Welcome to Barbecue Nation with JT's After Hours. Conversation that took place after the broadcast ended.
Hey everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Hey, everybody. Welcome to After Hours, this special one from Barbecue Nation. And I'll tell you why it's special. Last week on the show, we had my buddy Jack Timmons from Jack's Barbecue in Seattle. He was on the regular show, but we didn't have time to do the After Hours. So it's been a week since I recorded that show with Jack. And so I thought we would check back in for the After Hours and see how he's doing. First of all, welcome, Jack. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back. Good to talk some barbecue.
So what's been happening? I mean, when we talked last week, you were in the midst of turning into takeout only, some delivery. You have three locations for those that didn't catch that in the
we
show.
We have three locations. Yeah. And we just closed on a real estate purchase of another location that was supposed to open in July, but who knows? Given the current situation, construction people are going to be allowed to work or whatever.
Yeah.
So in the last week, last Monday, a week ago yesterday, we laid off 60 people, like most of our staff, all the waiters and bartenders and a lot of the kitchen people and some of the guys who work on the pits. And we just went to go and delivery. And to go and delivery has always been a good part of our business. But, you know, all the catering went to zero. All the events work went to zero. Any big orders for big companies went to zero. So it's onesie-twosie stuff and family purchases, you know, buying for a family of four or five or something like that.
Sure.
So we're in business with a skeleton crew at all three locations. And we're hanging in there. So that's the plan. Now they just announced yesterday, Monday, Governor Inslee of Washington said we're going to the total stay-at-home plan where nobody goes out, only for essential services. And he talked about hospitals and pharmacies and grocery stores, but he included to-go and delivery services for restaurants. And that's like save the day. We thought they're going to shut it all down. And I think they get it that, you know, I'm here at our location in South Lake Union at this moment. And there's one person coming in at a time, two people coming in at a time. We have enough space. There's lots of room. I went to a Whole Foods grocery store yesterday, and it was, you know, it's crowded. There's like 12 people in there in the produce section you have to walk past. It's just the to-go business is healthier in my mind in terms of, you know, not being as a contagious place like a Costco or a Safeway.
Well, especially like Costco, one of my colleagues here and I were talking just before we recorded this, and a lady had gone in there Sunday or something and got her one thing of toilet paper, got some other things, got some food and stuff. She made the mistake of parking her cart and going to the restroom, and when she came back, her toilet paper was gone. So I felt really bad for her, you know, and but
that's
those
funny
lines and stuff at the Costco's and some of the big box stores that sell food and, you know, household goods, they're huge lines. And so, you know, you're standing in line very closely for a couple hours sometimes to get into those places. And,
You
know, that's not particularly a healthy environment either.
Not at all. Like, I avoid those places like crazy. I'd much rather, you know, go to a little store. You know, my pit master said he went to a little Mexican grocery store down the street from him, and there was nobody in there, and he bought his supplies. I mean, how much do you need? Right. And it's not like we're going to run out. The supply chain is fine. They're not closing down factories that make toilet paper.
Right.
Or anything else you can buy. So I think distribution in this case, the more the better versus big, you know, outlets where there's lots of people.
How is, you know, so, you were looking, Jack, let me interrupt you for a second. You were looking at possibly renting a couple of other storefronts from restaurants that had completely closed up temporarily, I hope.
And, yeah, we're going to do that. So I'm in Seattle, and I used to work on the east side. I was a Microsoft guy over there in the back in the day, and there's a lot of opportunity. We've always wanted to open a Jack's Barbecue over there. So what we're going to do now is just go to one of these restaurants. We've got two. We're trying to narrow it down today so we can open this weekend, and pick one and just say, yeah, we'll pay you some rent. We'll give you a percentage of the sales, or, you know, we'll do our thing. You do your thing. And we'll bring over a point of sale terminal so we can run our orders through there. We'll just do delivery and takeout through that location. The delivery services like it because if you've got a popular product like we do, you know, the more locations, and they'll only deliver within a few miles of your existing location. They want to drive.
You know, sure. Yeah. From, they don't want to drive 20 miles. Yeah.
From Portland to Vancouver, Washington is too far. Right. So if we spread out a little, we'll get more delivery services. So that's one thing we're doing. Another thing we're doing is we're going to open up a ghost kitchen, which is the delivery services introduced us to this idea, which is you can make another product in your existing restaurant. You can make Mexican food, Italian food. They don't care. You put together a menu, you put a logo on it, and we'll pretend it's another restaurant that's selling that food. And we'll just have our Caviar and Grubhub and Uber Eats customers see it and go, yeah, I'd like to buy that. And we'll just come pick it up from you.
Cool.
That's a ghost kitchen. So we're going to do fried chicken out of our locations in Seattle. So it'll be Jack's Chicken Shack. It'll be a separate restaurant to the online users of those delivery services. And we'll have the same size. It kind of makes sense. We'll do chicken tenders and maybe thighs, and we'll just have, you know, coleslaw, potato salad, you know, beans, green, you know, typical things that you would eat with a fried chicken dinner. So, yeah, we're kind of scrambling to stay alive, and so we have to grow our sales per location and spread out a little bit because people aren't driving across town because they can't sit in the restaurant and have a beer. It's one thing to come, you know, from the east side to Seattle to have a meal and sit down and have a margarita and just kind of enjoy it. But if you're driving all the way just to get some brisket and ribs to go, it's not quite as a popular thing to do. So we have to go to them and just have little delivery outlets around the town. And this is all theoretically, this will work and it'll be good.
And have they changed the rules as far as, you know, Uber or whatever delivery service, as far as their contact with your people in the storefront and then taking it, putting it in the car and then taking it to Bob's house over here, you know, 30 blocks away? Have they changed any of those contact rules?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, we wear gloves all the time in the kitchen forever. Now we're wearing gloves at the cashiers, at the, you know, anybody walking around. We keep our distance from ourselves. And our places are such, we took all the tables and chairs out so people don't have to, if there are two people in at one time, they're not going to be standing on top of each other.
Right.
And they normally wouldn't anyhow. It's not like if you've got a room that's big enough and there's one other guy in it, you're not going to go over and stand next to him when you're waiting for your to-go order, you know?
Yeah.
So, and the pins that they sign, you know, for a credit card receipt, we sterilize those. We tell them that. We tell them these are sterilized. And as soon as they use it, we put it in the dirty pile and we sterilize them before that somebody uses again. You know, we've got a dozen pins. You can rotate them like that. And I think when people come in and they see us, you know, wearing gloves and keeping the distance, and, you know, we'll probably put markers on the ground like they do in grocery stores that show 6 foot distances. So people kind of get it in their brains to stay 6 feet away from each other.
Right.
But in terms of the people that come and pick it up, they're still just coming and picking it up. I think I read in one of the million, you know, articles that are coming through and getting sent to all of those business owners for everything from loans and support and all this kind of stuff, saying that there's no evidence that it transfers through in packaging. Like if you put food, we wrap our meats in foil and we put them in a clamshell container to go, you know, we're all using rubber gloves and we do that. And they're inside of a bag that's stapled. Then the guy that picks it up carries that stapled bag and hands it to somebody and they open it, you know, and that takes 30 minutes of transfer time when we put it, when somebody takes it out and eats it probably. So that's as good or better than going to a grocery store and somebody putting a can, you know, in a bag for you and handing it to you.
Oh yeah. Well, also at certain temperatures, you know, bacteria dies at 150 degrees or whatever. And, I'm not so sure that I don't know for a fact, but I would think if there was this virus on contact like that and that surface temperature was 150 degrees or higher, it would die too.
Yep. Yep. It's definitely a cold weather thing, as it seems like all the warm weather nations, you know, down south are just starting to get it and they're going to peak, you know, in their winter or summer.
Mm-hmm.
We will have peaked in our winter and it'll be slowing down in our summer, hopefully, just like flu does.
Yeah.
Doesn't like warm weather.
So how are you holding up?
I'm okay. It's been stressful and it's been exhausting. And we're all, you know, I just worked a shift where I'm actually on the floor working all day and on your feet. And that's I'm not sitting at my desk thinking great thoughts and paying bills.
Yeah. Yeah,
but I think it's okay. I think we'll get through this. It's like the landlords for South Lake Union property just sent us all an email saying, you know, I don't expect you to pay rent in April. I'm going to waive it for you. And that's just super generous.
Oh,
super,
sure.
Like, I wasn't going to pay anyhow. But, I mean, it was nice that, you know, he stepped forward before he even had that thought and said, I'm going to take care of you guys. So that was super, super nice. I think a lot of people are being nice to each other right now because we're all so desperate to get through this situation and to come out on the other end. The thing I don't know is how long it's going to take. Is it going to be 6 months or 3 months? It's not going to be weeks. It's going to be months. And,
right.
And you know, is it going to be 18 months until we either all caught it or they have a vaccine for it? So, that part of it's tough. I still think we can survive on the to-go and delivery service business. That's always been a traditional part of barbecue. People always, when I was a kid, most of the barbecue I ate, you went to the store and picked it up, brought it home and ate it. It's kind of like a family dinner thing, as much as sitting in a place and eating it. So I think we'll survive. The big events that are such a big part of your business, catering and people having parties and stuff, that's disappeared for however long that takes. So that hurts. I don't know what all these unemployed people are going to do either. You know, at some point, I mean, I guess the country's just going to spend a fortune on unemployment for the next half year. But I guess it doesn't seem like anybody in Washington has a problem printing money. It seems like, oh, you want $1 trillion? Yeah, just print it.
Yeah, that's true. But they can, you know, there's things that we can do to offset that over time. We've done it before. It's not the healthiest and most stable way to do it, obviously, but it can be done. And if it helps people, the only good part about that, I think, is that other economies and other countries in the world are suffering too. So we're all kind of on a flat playing surface, you know?
Right.
And, so then at the end, it's going to be determined by who gets well the fastest and can get their economy really moving again. So
yeah,
I'm
kind of lucky in that my girlfriend of many years is a lung doctor in a local hospital in the ICU intensive care unit. So she's actually taking care of these people. So she's working her butt off, right?
Yeah.
So no matter what I'm going through, she's always working harder and she's more stressed and she's in the front lines. Really doing the battle. So it's hard for me to feel sorry for myself as much as I like to, like anybody. But what we've done, another thing we've done to kind of keep ourselves from going out of business is we've told people if they want to donate sandwiches or breakfast tacos, you know, to a local hospital, they're just grinding away and kind of like a, you know, a war zone. You know, they can do that. They can go to our website, buy a gift certificate, donate to the hospital. We just delivered 60 sandwiches to the local Swedish hospital, and we donated breakfast tacos last week to Evergreen Hospital and other hospitals in town. So that's kind of cool. And I think people are doing that. It's kind of picking up as a way to keep us from going out of business and a way to help the hospital staff. Man, they're stressed because they're catching it. And they're dying. You know, it's like they really are on the front lines.
Right.
And, the U.S., the way they do the treatments are different. They learned something from the Chinese. The Chinese, 40% of the medical professionals caught it. Like, they all just were exposed. And now the way they do it, everybody wrapped up in plastic, and they don't do certain treatments that it – because these people go in, they get it destroys their lungs when they get to the ICU. And not many people get to the ICU, but – more than usual are going. And like, you look at places like Italy, like they're not even, they don't even have beds, or they're sitting in the hallway dying.
Yeah.
So they've got it really bad. So those people really are on the front lines. They're the ones that are going to suffer the most and have the most illnesses and deaths with all the people working on this stuff, which is too bad. You go into these hospitals, I won't even walk in one now, but the first time I walked in, you know, it's all wrapped in plastic, and they've got a guy behind a glass wall who asks you for your temperature, and it's, you know, everybody's wrapped in plastic. It looks like something really bad is going down. So I can't imagine the pressure on those people. It looks crazy.
I read a thing that I think this morning online, somebody was doing some memes, and it said, it looks like Stephen King wrote the script for this week, you know?
Yeah, he probably could. He probably will write one now.
He probably will. Well, Jack,
it'll take him a week.
Yes, it'll take him a week or more. I appreciate you taking the time to catch up with us for After Hours, and we're going to give it a couple weeks, and then I'm going to check back with you, see how you're doing up there. All right, partner?
Yeah, thank you very much. I tell you what, the good news, though, the thing that keeps me going is when I walk out to the pitch this morning, and I go, I talk to my pitmaster, and I said, we've been designated an essential business.
Yep.
Barbecue is essential.
There you
We're
go.
We're going to stay open.
That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it.
Fight another day.
We all will. Jack Timmons from Jack's Barbecue in Seattle, 3 locations, soon to be 4 or more. We're going to check back with you, buddy.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
You bet. We'll be back next week with another edition of Barbecue Nation. Take care of yourself, everybody, and look out and take care of some friends, too. See you then.